I am going to miss not going on the hike. All joking aside, I do really, really enjoy when we do the rim to rim together.
That's a fun thing to do together.
Well,
it's a great thing.
The first time I ever did it, I did it with your younger sister, and it was 118 at Phantom Ranch. There was actually two deaths in the canyon that particular weekend. I wasn't one of them.
Well, and that was
but
the year
I thought I was going to be.
And Carol Grace and I were on the rim just sitting around kind of waiting for the day, and I bought a copy of Death in the Grand Canyon. That thing is probably 500 pages.
It's a great book.
Yeah, not when your family's down.
Not when your family's
down in the canyon. You don't read it.
Well, I must be the good luck charm because it has not been hot a single time I've gone.
You know, one of the funniest pictures I have in my rotating slide is the picture you took of me coming out the North Rim. There's a little bit of snow on the trail. It's drizzling snow on us. I'm in a red shirt, and I'm just. I got steam just running off the top of my head and my back. I look like the little red engine that could.
It was a lot of steam. That weather was interesting that year.
That was. But I'll tell you what, making that hike at 118 and making it in a snow flurry, I'll take a snow flurry every time.
Any day.
Dr. Mike, on allergies, why can't I just sinurinse every single morning and lunch and be okay?
Well, nasal lavage is what you're talking about, is helpful. It kind of washes, flushes stuff out of the nose. But there's more that's going on than just that. I mean, there's still these other inflammatory chemicals that are released when you have these allergic reactions in the nose that create all the symptoms that you complain of congestion and blowing your nose and sneezing and itching. And you can actually over-rinse the nose, and it can be harmful, too.
Mm.
You know, just like training and everything, you know, too much of a good thing can be bad. So you got to keep everything in moderation. So nasal lavage once or twice a day, probably at max. You don't want to go beyond that. I know some people do a lot more, but it can be helpful. But, you know, treating allergies, it's a multifaceted treatment approach. There's more than just one thing you need to do. I mean, you look at avoidance. That kind of comes into the medicine standpoint. If you're bad enough, you can do immunotherapy to try to, or allergy shots to try to resolve it.
I read a lot of history, and you don't find a lot of Native American history talking about being miserable in the spring. Of course, you have Doc Holliday, you know, but that was more of a lung thing. I mean, are allergies, are we doing something where they're more prevalent to us in this society than they have been historically?
Oh, absolutely. Allergic disease and asthma, respiratory stuff, is increasing in prevalence. And there's a variety of theories about that. Part of it is air quality issues that create, make us be able to be more allergic. So diesel fuel combustion, as an example, helps facilitate taking something in the environment and making your body see it as an allergen. You're not allergic to the diesel fuel combustion, but it's a facilitating agent to do that. So, yeah, we're doing things that create that. You know, the genetic predisposition to be allergic, it's something that runs in families. So just because you have, say, hay fever, your son can have asthma and his daughter could have eczema, all different allergic conditions, but you've got this allergic genetic predisposition. So, but there's a lot of things, you know, the tight homes, other environmental allergens that we're now exposed to that we weren't before.
I mean, it's exactly what got our family to Arizona. Dad was a general practitioner in a small rural town in South Louisiana. At that point, he and Mom had six kids. We were all suffering from asthma and allergies, and we were overall miserable. He went to National Jewish in Denver, did his residency, and he says, kids, I don't know where we're moving when I'm done here. It's either going to be Albuquerque or Phoenix, wherever it snows less. We ended up in Phoenix in 1965, and that's exactly what drove us here. It was a family disposition to be highly allergic to practically everything.
Well, the old theory was take your allergies and asthma to Arizona because there are no allergies and asthma in Arizona. But that's not true. I mean, a lot of the native desert plants, mesquite trees and the rabbit bush and the desert grasses and tumbleweed, those are all allergens. It just wasn't as dense as it was back, you know, east in the Midwest. And as people have moved out here, they've also, with your gardening hour,
yeah,
they've expanded the flora and fauna here and you know, we have more of a, there's no place you can go that's non-allergenic except maybe underwater, Antarctica.
Okay. Okay.
Or a boat out in the middle of the ocean.
Okay.
An airplane. There's cat dander in airplanes. So
don't even talk to me about everything that's in an airplane. Okay. we're not even going there. I don't even like getting on those things for that reason. Katie, you're getting ready to do a rim-to-rim-to-rim here in a couple weeks.
Right, three.
And I was to join you. Mm-hmm. I have to stay home to chaperone a high school graduation party at the house.
I'll have more fun.
You will. You will have more fun. You're taking a rookie in my place.
I know.
How are you coaching the rookie to be prepared for a hike like that?
Well, I've been making her go with me a lot. I call her. I pick her up. I'm like, you can't fake the canyon. We're going today. So, you know, I've just constantly been talking to her about how she needs to eat and drink during the canyon, how she needs to, in 2 weeks needs to be her last, or I'm sorry, next weekend needs to be her last long, long training hike or run. And then she needs to start tapering down after that, reserving her energy, start getting a few more low burn, slow burn carbohydrates into her diet.
The problem with all of that is she's so competitive.
Like me.
How are you going to slow her down the first 15 miles?
Oh, I'm not. I'm going to let her go burn herself out. I'm going to pass her by and say, see you on the north side.
Now,
Jackie,
the last,
on
that's,
your own.
That's my competitive edge.
Now, the last thing
I'm gonna
I
her
want
be her own worst enemy
is for her mom to come to my front door and tell me my daughter killed her daughter.
Well, there's helicopters that'll go down there.
Oh. Is Jackie listening this morning? We're rooting for you, Jackie.
I wrote her a long letter. I said, Jackie, you know, as someone who well remembers their rookie year on the rim to rim to rim, nobody really prepped me very well. I had two friends say, hey, you're in pretty good shape. Come do this with us. It almost killed me.
It's intense.
They had been doing it so long, they had forgotten what it was like to get
prepared.
Well,
one of the guys that invited me had only done it 1 year and hadn't trained one day.
Who's that?
Dean Priest.
And he did, well, he...
Well, that's not...
That man hikes the desert like you do. I mean, you hike miles and miles in the desert. You probably put on, what, how many miles a year?
Hundreds. Yeah. Hundreds. And you train a lot in the McDowell Mountains, right?
I do. Kids? I like the McDowell Mountains because once you get past that gateway loop, the crowds just thin way out. It's
and
nice.
I'm a mountain trail snob. I hate to admit it. I mean, there's Piestewa Peak. There's Lookout.
Mm-hmm.
There's
I do
North,
Lookout a lot.
There's South Mountain. But in comparison, those are all pretty
puny,
ugly trails.
And lots of people. You like to go out and have your peace and quiet.
Yeah, I do. I like to get past that gateway loop. Mm-hmm. I like to get up Tom's Thumb. I like to go off the backside
east,
and get into
East End.
All mm-hmm. through the East End. But I'm going to give you a little Arizona history here.
All
do
right.
you know how the McDowell Mountains got their name?
A guy named McDowell died up there?
Well, it was a guy named McDowell. That's
okay.
for sure. I'm pulling this out of Bob Bowes Bell's book, True West Moments. During the Civil War, General Irvin McDowell lost the first battle of Bull Run and then, defying all odds, also lost the second battle of Bull Run.
Oops.
Okay. In spite of that, he rose through the ranks and is prominent as commander of the Department of the Pacific in 1864 and 1865, led to recognition of the general in central Arizona. The McDowell Mountains, Fort McDowell, and McDowell Road were all named for this loser.
So
well,
I'm supposed to feel like a loser
now,
every time I'm out there?
Now
like,
where else are you going to get information like that?
Nowhere.
Huh? Thank you,
nowhere.
Bob Bowes-Bell.
Thank you.
So, but I do think the McDowells are probably one of the prettiest. The other place I like is getting up on the rim and hiking those rim trails because, boy, you can get a lot of elevation up and down through those Payson area trail systems and all through the Barnhart Trail is a good one.
Right.
The Mattazel's, the backside of Mattazel's is also a good one.
Well, locally, too, they've opened the Apache Wash, what was that, 2 or 3 years ago now? Have you been up there?
I have not.
That's up past Desert Ridge. And they've opened that up, and there's tons of trails. And I actually love going out there because the trail condition is very similar to the canyon. It's smooth.
Oh.
You can open up. You can get a little running in. It's not real rocky. It's not real technical. You're going to get some peaks, some short, intense bursts uphill. I've been doing a lot of training out there, and then I go over to Tom's Thumb to get that long, steady uphill.
Well, I'm really good at bursts uphill, especially the kind you're talking about, short. Really short.
I think that's what a burst means, short.
In the tortoise and the hare, I'm definitely the tortoise. I'll catch you sooner or later, but it's going to be a few miles down the trail. The staycation, how long has it been since we've gotten a letter like that?
Well, we get letters often because people really have a wonderful time on our staycations. But look at this, guys. 3 pages of beautiful handwritten letter from Miss Susan, who took the trip last week and went to Sedona. But she has such poetic way of writing as well. She talked about how wonderful people were at Sanderson Ford. They took a little escape and went up to Sedona area and stayed with our friends at Best Western Plus Inn of Sedona. She talked about the panoramic views of the Red Rocks and
amazing
how it was terraced
views.
in the rocks and the fireplace in the room. They did things very traditional, like taking the Jeep tours, but she was a little adventurous. She tried prickly pear cactus French fries at one of the local restaurants. And she just said, thank you, Rosie, for the time to stop and smell the roses. But you know how she signed it? She says, thank you to Rosie and Jennifer on the house.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Well, we appreciate the opportunity to be able to do that. You can only register for an Arizona staycation one place in the whole world, and that's at rosieonthehouse.com. Right there on the front page, you'll get an opportunity to see the Ford pickup truck sponsored by Sanderson Ford. You go in there and register to win an Arizona staycation. This month, we're featuring absolutely beautiful corner of the state. It's Cochise County in the far southeastern corner of the state. We'll put together a travel plan for you. We'll tell you the key things you need to see. We've got Karshner Cavern folks coming in to talk next week. Is that right?
That's right. We'll be talking about Slaughter Ranch as well.
We wanted to get the guy from Slaughter Ranch, but you decided he's just too old a codger.
I don't know.
Is that the word you used?
Something like that.
One of the most interesting houses in all of Arizona, right on the border, the Mexico-Arizona border, Slaughter Ranch. Absolutely gorgeous area. But it's worth going to see. They got a nice little museum there. It's interesting to see the architectural study of how they built homes like that prior to air conditioning. So you register to win this month. You have to put Cochise County in the subject line, and we'll let you go to Sanderson Ford, pick any one of the cars that they have on their demo lot, give it to you for 4 days. Jennifer throws a gas card in there so it doesn't cost you a dime. We find out where you want to go. We have 18 lodging partners created all over the state of Arizona in Cochise County. We can put you up at the
Copper Queen.
Is one of the one, and we also have 2 or 3 bed and breakfasts down there as well. So a great chance. There'll also be a gift basket in there from Soretta Candy in Glendale, founded over 40 years ago. Jim Soretta, who learned candy making in his father-in-law's factory in Ohio, moved it all out here to Glendale. He's been there ever since, right there on Glendale Avenue. Get in there. They have a lovely tour of the facility. And I never drop my Ford vehicle off at Sanderson Ford without walking down the street, picking up a sweet little treat for Jennifer at Soretta's. So that's the Arizona Staycation, brought to you by Rosie on the House and Sanderson Ford. Get in there this month. We pick a winner every single month. Get in there and register Cochise County. More when we get back with Rosie on the House with Dr. Michael Manning and Katie Stumbo.